This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com.
Music or noise? Music or noise? Music or noise?
This is a question we're going to be probably asking a lot on this edition of All Songs Considered, since Lars Gotrich is here for another edition of Viking's Choice.
Hey, Robin.
Hey, Lars. Always bringing the jams. What is this?
This is Matmus. The track was said right at the top, Music or Noise, and it's the album Return to Archive. Let's listen to some more.
I'm happy to just get lost in this world of sound, but there is a really interesting story behind this this recording and this album.
Matmus is the electronic duo of Martin C. Schmidt and Drew Daniel. They've been making music together for more than a couple of decades now. And on this record, they were given access to the Smithsonian Folkways catalog. It's a record label that's been around decades. I think they just celebrated 75 years in 2023. To celebrate those years, Matmus was asked to do what they do best, which is take unexpected sample sources and turn it into experimental yet accessible music. Instead of digging into their best known recordings, which are American blues or music from Ghana or from Indonesia, and they decided to dig into the non-music records. Recordings of birds and frogs and sounds of the office.
There's a moment, it's coming up right now. Let's bring this back up because I want to, speaking of just noise, let's listen to this noise. That screeching sounds, it's like a tea kettle. Or air being let out of a balloon slowly, or it could be a person screaming, I don't know.
So I asked Matmus to tell me exactly what is in the
track.
And they gave me three paragraphs. They write, "The central screaming female voice is a digital manipulation of the soprano vocal techniques displayed on the Vox Humana LP, and the persistent crash cymbal is taken from the track Turntable Full of Sound Effects, Announcements, and Horror Horrifying background moods for the making of seductive soap operas."
So specific.
It is extremely specific.
I love that. And I do hear music in noise. And that's something that I think we're going to keep coming back to. Something else we're going to keep coming back to is a recurring theme that sort of stitches all of your picks today together. It's time and space. And you've broken these selections into, I'll call them chapters. So we're in chapter one right now, and you're calling this
Histories Lost and Found.
Histories Lost and Found. And so this project from Matmus, I think very clearly, falls into that category. They've discovered the history, and they have brought it back to life in these really amazing ways, I think.
The fun thing to think about with Return to Archive is that Moses Ash, who founded Smithsonian Folkways, not only wanted to document Jewish cantors or blues musicians, he wanted to document everything about life. And so that meant recording staplers clicking.
Right.
And the limits of the human voice. So here is this guy who is like, "Hey, U.S. government, I want money to document blues musicians, but also staplers."
Your tax dollars at work.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. What else do you have under this chapter of Histories Lost and Found?
There's a group called Poil Ueda, and it is a French prog rock band joined by a Japanese folk singer. They put out two records this year. The first one was self-titled. This new record is called Yoshitsune. We should just play a little bit of the track Coco.
Thank you. I'm giving you the biggest smile right now, Lars, because I'm watching you bob your head to this in perfect time. I mean, you're feeling the beat in this. So when I listened to this mix that you put together, and I listened to it in a playlist, one song running into the other, I was very much taken into a world of time and space. But this is one cut that was a little more challenging for me. Not challenging in that I didn't enjoy listening to it. Mm-hmm. I just didn't make those connections. What are you hearing in this?
As I said before, Pollo Ueda is a collaboration between a French prog rock band and Junko Ueda, who is a Japanese folk singer, very highly respected in the world of epic storytelling, in which she spins these Japanese medieval tales using just her voice and an instrument called a satsuma biwa, which is a very large stringed instrument struck very strongly with a giant pick. And in these stories, she's telling tales from like the 12 and 1300s. This story in particular is about a hero, Yoshitsune, and he had won this epic battle for his clan. And as sometimes happens, the clan grew suspicious of his power and his intentions, and they exiled him. The thing I love about this record is that we are getting stories that normally would only be heard by very niche audiences, but instead you're getting in this new context that really energizes the story in ways that you normally wouldn't expect.
Do you find as you're getting older that you appreciate history more? Are you more interested in history now than you were when you were a kid, for example?
I have grown to realize as I've gotten older, I turned 40 in 2023, that history is a spider web. It's a three-dimensional being. Yeah. Everything is connected.
Yeah, yeah.
And it segues really nicely into our next album, which is a much darker and heavier affair, but still starkly beautiful. And that is the record by Mesa Jalud. It's a record called Maja, The Battle of the Hotels. Here's the track, Beinana. Una ka mustashfa. Una wala.
Set this up by saying that this was really heavy, and certainly as thematically, this was to me a very lovely song. But as lovely as this is, it is detailing a pretty awful period in history in the mid-1970s during the Lebanese Civil War.
Yeah, Mesa Jalud is a historian, and she specifically got her master's thesis in historic preservation based in Beirut, Lebanon. And in her studies, she came across a story that she had never heard or read growing up about a five-month battle that occurred in the mid-70s in the heart of Beirut between two ideologically opposed forces. And the battle happened in high-rise hotels, and it was bloody and it was awful. And the more that she researched it, the more disturbed she became that it wasn't part of her education. Mm. And so she spent a lot of time literally mapping out the area where these battles had occurred. The album itself comes with this beautiful, vibrant, colored map. But the thing that kind of like really hit home for this record for me is that if we do not learn our history, and if certain histories are lost or erased, then sometimes it feels like we are doomed to repeat that history and that the echoes of history just continue on.
Yeah. I mean, that certainly comes through in the sort of concept behind this record. I was really struck by how she said that in an interview I read that she walked by these buildings that were damaged and, you know, chip marks and pock marks from bullet holes. And, you know, what is that all about? Like, how could she not know? And but I guess tying this back to the theme of time, what it made me think of is just how completely indifferent time is to us. And the vastness of time, too. How, in this case, she's thinking of history and how history can be erased, sometimes intentionally, of course. But how time, I think, eventually will have its way with us. And that makes me think about how precious our time here is. And just what a gift it is to be anything at all, to even exist in this incredible mystery that we're all, you know, sort of slogging through day in and day out. You know, and to do good while you can. What are you going to do with the time that you have?
That, to me, is what is so crucial about hearing, digging into these difficult stories. Because if we don't learn from them, how can we celebrate the life that we have?
Let's get to the next chapter. Chapter 2, you're calling it The Past is Ever Present. And I really love this first artisan cut that you've picked.
Ruth Anderson and Anaya Lockwood are kind of like cult favorites of early electronic music. This is a record called Tête à Tête that brings them together in a way that they haven't done on record in a very long time.
So we've actually been hearing a bit of the song underneath all of this. It just sounds like birds chirping maybe in the background, but this is called For Ruth. Let's hear a little bit more of it.
It's, you know, blue sky, curious clouds. And if I go for a bat swim, I'll take you along.
Oh, yeah, please.
And I wrote out a whole list of things to do, and I may not do any of them.
Good idea.
Seem surprised when I said I really like this cut that you're bringing. This is actually my favorite cut that you have.
That's today. So surprising.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm such an audio nerd.
We work at NPR.
Well,
sense.
I guess more than that, you know, I guess I mentioned sampling. I love the world of sound that is always around me. And even when I was a kid, you know, I had this old mono cassette recorder and I'd lean it against the television, the speaker on our television, and record TV shows and commercials and whatever was on TV, and I'd record hours of it, and I'd listen to it in bed as I was going to sleep and get lost in the voices and the sounds. And I loved that I didn't have some screen that I was staring at. I loved the imaginary world that unfolded in my mind. And, you know, I would very frequently just leave the recorder going and leave the room, so I didn't even know what I was capturing until I listened to it later. And and then there's sort of the sense that you're eavesdropping on a conversation, which certainly happens on this. Kind of all those things are coming together in this cut for me.
So Ruth Anderson and Anaya Lockwood, as I said, are electronic musicians, but they specifically dealt in field recordings. So that can mean birds and sounds of nature. And Anaya Lockwood is actually very well known for these things she did called sound maps of rivers. So she would do field recordings of rivers. But they also recorded all of their conversations, basically.
Yeah.
It is telling you a story that you have to trust.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though you are hearing what you think are real-time conversations, it's actually more than likely that these conversations happened over decades.
Yeah.
So you're hearing these laughter.
yes.
You're hearing the response. But you are dropped into this scene, and you can feel the intimacy, you can feel the love, you can feel the doubt. Like there's a moment about 6 minutes and 40 seconds in.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes.
And we should play it, and it might not immediately hit people like, oh yeah, I hear it, but here it is.
We're really gonna do everything together?
Yes.
We come here together and then we go back to New York together?
Yes.
It's such a beautiful moment. Like, it, like just listening to it now, I get, I do get chills.
Yeah.
Hearing them, hearing that question. Are we really going to do everything together?
But here's the thing. To me, this was, I do hear a narrative in this. There is an arc to this story. And to me, there's a this is a turning moment. What I hear in this is a lot of doubt. There's almost a little bit of suspicion, of hearts being broken. One person is clearly looking for some sort of reassurance from the other. Like, are we really going to do everything together? And then we're going to go back to New York together. This is a little bit darker moment in this sort of story that unfolds. For me, anyway, that's what I heard.
But that's also what love is, right? It's all the doubts.
Yeah.
It's the stuff that hurts that makes it work harder and better. And so this is like a conversation across time that they've been having for decades. And here's Anaya Lockwood saying, I still love you.
I love that. Oh, my God. Oh, I just got goosebumps too, Lars. I love this. I also want to say, in the context of, again, all the picks that you made, I listened to it in a single playlist without, our yammering interrupting every cut. So I had the pleasure of just hearing the music and hearing how one track ran into the next. And I want people to experience what I experienced when I was listening to this. So I want to hear just the end of this cut.
Oh, yes. into the next
one. Yeah, the cut for Ruth. And I'm going to just let it play into the next cut that you had in this mix.
It's a beautiful day. It's a lovely, peaceful day.
So,
good night, then. Love you.
Bye-bye, darling.
Bye-bye. You laugh, but I don't know. To me, it's sort of like the perfect reply. I struggle to find entry points. Well, here. So this very guttural, screamy stuff that you bring to the show every now and then.
I had to bring at least one.
I know. I do struggle to find entry points. I haven't always connected with this music, but it works so perfectly in this mix. In this case, the way you frame the song, the cut we just heard for Ruth, and the one that I know that's coming after this, it just works so well.
Trust the narrative, Robin.
Well, tell us why you picked this one. Well, first of all, who it is and what we're listening to, and then why you picked this one.
This is Zulu. They're a hardcore band from Los Angeles. But if you want to get nerdy, if you want to be more correct, they're a power violence band.
If you must know, as you push your glasses up your nose.
Power
violence?
Yes, power violence.
That's a genre?
Yeah, it's a sub genre of hardcore. Basically, it's just like thrashier and more distorted and dissonant. Yeah, Zulu, they put out their debut record, A New Tomorrow, in 2023. I believe they started as a pandemic project for one member, and then it became a full band. The track that we're listening to is called Life as a Shorty. Sure gonna be rough.
I need to bring it back up here because we're about to hit this moment in the song where it takes a very unexpected turn.
You are young, gifted, and black. We must begin to tell our young. There's a world, little girl, waiting for you.
So I was not expecting them to make the shift to Nina Simone. How did they make this pivot?
So Zulu is a black hardcore band. All of its members are black. And kind of like the intent for Zulu was to celebrate not only black Americana, but black consciousness, black joy, black struggle, the whole, as much existence as you can pack into a very short hardcore record that expresses themselves, but also, even though they're screaming, their ultimate purpose is joy. And when To Be Young, Gifted in Black came in for the first time, I was like, what's this doing here? Also, there's a Marvin Gaye sample elsewhere on the record. Mm. I edited a piece by Lana Dawes that came out around the record. And what she seized upon immediately was these samples. And the thing that she said is that these are conversations between these young Black Americans and these legends of Black music. And the lyric that the vocalist says in the song is, "Help me, I'm falling out. I've never seen an end right in front of me." So Nina Simone comes in, and it's an affirmation. Mm. It's saying, it's an anthem to uplift African Americans. And that song was specifically written for the Civil Rights era, but it echoes on indefinitely. And what the singer from the band said, and I quote, "We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. And in the activism world, a lot of people wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the likes of people like Nina Simone, especially in music." So here's that idea that the past is ever present.
Right.
That we are constantly in conversation with history. And this is all connected.
Yeah.
Like Black kids doing hardcore is not new. We've been here. And here is our lineage.
Yeah. I love this conversation that they're having in the themes, but also just in the sounds, right? This very, very current sound with a very classic older sound. It works so well. And like I said, it worked really well hearing this cut from Zulu come out of the For Ruth. And then, as I said, I listened to this single playlist. We're going to enter the third chapter, which is called Memory is a Mystical Measure of Time. But as we enter this third chapter together, Lars, I want to play this cut from Zulu, just the end of it, again, so we can hear how it ran into the cut right after it. Again, another great reset that worked really, really well coming out of that Zulu cut, framing it. Who is this and why did you pick it?
This is Young Webster, and this is his self-titled debut album. Kind of dropped out of nowhere. There's not really much information.
Yeah, I dug around trying to find more about him, and it's just not a lot out there.
I just know he's from New York. And he got a bunch of different producers from all over the world to contribute to this record. The name of this track is called Stay Focus with several S's.
Yeah.
And then in brackets, Fast plus Reg. And Reg stands for regular. And we'll hear why there's a kind of like a split in a moment. But the thing that I love about this record is that it's so meditative.
Mm-hmm.
You don't always quite understand what Young Webster is saying, because it's blurred under these beats.
Oh, I don't understand a word he's saying. I tried so hard to listen to what he's saying, and I gave up very quickly because it is so hard. You know, I was trying to figure out the connection to time that you were hearing, and you can tell me, but I will say that the more I thought about it, the more I thought that the lack of clarity was, in fact, the whole point in a track called Stay Focused.
Yes.
Right. I mean, it has never been harder for people to pay attention to anything. There's never been more things competing for our attention.
Mm-hmm.
Our attentions have never been more fragmented. And when your attention is fragmented like that, it really messes with your sense of time and space and how you move through it.
Absolutely. So what you're going to hear about halfway through this track and on most of the tracks on this album is a split in time. So if the first half was fast, which this doesn't feel fast, but he says that it's fast, the second section is quote unquote regular. And so what does regular sound like to Young Webster? We're about to find out.
Maybe guess like who we are now. gotta stay focused. They try to change my vibe, but who you are now? Still I stay focused. Still I stay focused. I'm in a van, I'm singing the motion sheets. I put myself up in the shit, ain't made them please. But in the rooms with the shit I'm saying with you. The judge down with the burnout rubberies. I'm thinking I see something. Might be good, so I'm bringing it back. I think I'm bringing it back to good school.
It's subtle, but it's definitely slower.
The beat comes back slower.
Yeah, well, his voice is pitch shifted too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there are quite a few things that are happening here. Young Webster is sort of digging on a history of hip-hop, especially from the last 10 years. So I think about Young Thug. I think about Clams Casino, the producer who made these very cloudy rap instrumentals. I think about the album Rain in England by Lil B, where he did these rapt meditations over basically ambient not beats. Mm-hmm. And then you go back even farther to, and you go to Houston for DJ Screw, who would literally put screws in a turntable to slow down his favorite records to kind of soundtrack a druggy trip. Mm-hmm. So there's that. Then on the other side, there's this funny part of me that is wondering if Young Webster is responding to a trend on TikTok, which is not a place I spend any time.
Sure. Yeah. I
mostly rely on friends to text me things, mm-hmm. where these people would just speed up pop and hip hop songs. Mm-hmm. And slap their name on it, and then, you know, there would be TikTok challenges or whatever to these songs.
Okay.
So much so that some artists have started releasing sped up versions of their own songs. So Mariah Carey did it. Mm-hmm. So here's a guy who's like, I'm gonna give you both in one song.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the very least it's a wink.
Yeah.
You know, at that sort of thing.
Nobody's going to care about this TikTok thing in a few years.
Oh, I think that's generous. I mean, a few years, give it a few weeks or less. This made me think, again, in time and space, and again, how fragmented our attentions are. It also made me think there's a laziness in this music. I don't mean lazy in like he's phoning the production in. I mean, it's very languid, and mm-hmm. you know, it kind of oozes and stretches, yeah. And it made me think of this great quote from Seneca, who said more or less that it's the dilemma in life is not that there's so little time; it's just that we waste so much of it.
Mm. That brings me to my next track.
Okay. All right. Well, before we get to that next track,
yeah,
and we're still in the chapter here, Memory is a Mystical Measure of Time. I want to be aware of time. We need to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
But when we come back, we will have more deep thoughts on time and space and the music, Lars, that you brought for this edition of Viking's Choice. And we'll be right back.
Support for NPR and the following message come from FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu. This message comes from Capital One, presenting sponsor of the 2024 Tiny Desk Contest. Earlier this year, unsigned musicians from around the country submitted their original songs for the 10th annual Tiny Desk Contest. The panel of judges are hard at work picking standout entries, and you can follow along and choose your favorite videos as well. The winner gets to play their very own Tiny Desk concert, then headline a tour with NPR Music this summer. Want to come along for the ride? Visit tinydeskcontest.npr.org to learn more, then check out the Venture X card from presenting sponsor Capital One. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details. This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Dive into the chilling new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, the riveting adaptation of the acclaimed true crime book. Based on shocking true events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. Go deep into the hidden world of the town's tormented teenagers as detectives race to solve the sinister crime. starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
So, Lars, you were about to tell us about your next pick here.
We're still in Memory is a Mystical Measure of Time, and our next artist is Liis Ring, an artist from Estonia who's lived in Sweden for the last decade or so. She actually came out with a couple records this year. She came out with kind of more of a singer-songwritery record and then more of an ambient meditation called Homing. And this is a song called After Image One, Nothing Stands Still.
I've mentioned in previous shows how if you throw in a few hand claps or something like that, I'm instantly in. You put birds chirping underneath a mix, I'm also all in.
Yeah.
I read that Liis Ring, in addition to being a musician, is also a photographer and a bird watcher. Mm-hmm. So that tracks when you listen to
this. So this record is called Homing, and it's a concept record. It's about the idea of home not necessarily being a place, but a person or an object mm-hmm. or an idea.
Right.
And how often that idea of home becomes more fuzzy over time, and how memories shift and become stranger and weirder and are forgotten. Mm. And
again, that idea of history being erased just by the vastness of time.
There's just so much going on, and my sense of memory has changed so much as I've gotten older. Things that I thought were so crucial to who I am as a person, like core memories, they are fuzzier, they are stranger. And I spent a lot of time with this record, particularly on long walks. And so I was taking a long walk recently, and I sort of got lost. I mean, I knew where I was. It was just basically in my neighborhood. But I saw things a little differently.
Yeah.
There was a tree that I hadn't noticed before.
I love that. So I was on a nice chilly walk in my neighborhood when I listened to your entire mix. So maybe that's another thing that people should take away from this show. Go for walks.
Go
for walks and listen to music.
They are so important. I take a walk every single morning.
You talk about childhood memories and trying to hold on to them and how slippery they can be. That it makes me think of this great moment in the book The Sheltering Sky when the author Paul Bowles says, you know, we get to live with the illusion that life is forever because we don't know when we're going to die, right? So we get to live with this feeling that, well, things are just going to always be. And he says, as we've noted on the show, that actually everything is very fleeting. And one of the examples he gives is take a childhood memory that you have, and it's a memory of something, he says, that is so important to you that you can't imagine your life without it. It's critical to who you are. But really, how many more times are you actually even going to think of that memory or have that memory? He says maybe 3 or 4 more times, but it all feels limitless.
And again, it's that idea of like, our lives, our histories are a collection, and it's no one thing that determines who we are and how we react to the world around us.
Okay, there were only 2 selections in this chapter 3, Memory is a Mystical Measure of Time. So let's now step together, Lars, into this next dimension, this next chapter, the fourth and final chapter that you're calling Where We're Going, We Don't Need, and you have a little ellipsis. I assume you mean roads from
Back to the Future.
Yeah, Where We're Going, We Don't Need Roads. But
it's just fill in the blank.
Fill in the blank.
Because borders are meaningless, and so is time. And we're starting with a project by Alicia Crampton. She is an American electronic artist. She has a project called Chuki Mamani Kandori, which is her native name from the Amara tribe where her people come from. This is a track called Breathing.
Another great mood shift from the track that we heard before this. And I felt like you were trying to say, everything's going to be okay. There's something very, very reassuring about this.
Yeah. Alicia Crampton, as I mentioned, is indigenous. And she describes this project kind of as like a layer of music from the Andes Mountains, where these peoples and where this music comes from. Much of Alicia Crampton's work is anti-colonialist, anti-capitalist, because the area where her people are from in Bolivia were basically taken over by Spanish settlers. And so here's this project that not only explores how oppression can affect and indigenous people, but also the queer community that she is part of. Here's Alicia Crampton literally layering history upon these songs.
But such a celebration, that's what I hear, and maybe that's what's reassuring to me when I hear this. In the context of everything that we've heard leading up to this moment, the song to me, and the one that you have coming up next, the song was a reminder that even though we live in this vast mystery called life that no one really truly understands. I mean, basically everything's made up because
hey,
we just, you know, my
partner says it every single day. I mean, everything is made up.
It's just made up. I mean, this is what we just decided because we're trying to bring order or we're trying to feel more secure in all of the uncertainty by giving labels and names and order to everything. And all of those sorts of things seem to just evaporate in this song, and you're just left with the idea that life is beautiful, and just dance and be together and forget about everything else. I don't know. That's what I heard.
I mean, that's exactly what the next and final track is by Sun Watchers. It's called World People, and it's from the album Music is Victory Over Time.
This is a song that's all about life is for the living and just get out there and keep moving.
Absolute party music from every conceivable avant-garde party music you can think of. I've loved this band for a long time, and everything kind of coalesces on this record in a way that I don't think they've quite gotten before. They started this band as kind of a way to incorporate their many, many influences. So you got Albert Eiler and Ornette Coleman style free jazz. You've got Lamont Young style drone. You've got Steve Reichian minimalism. Mm. You've got kind of like psychedelic folk music from Thailand. And it's all kind of like thrown together as a big party jam. And the title of the record is the one that I keep coming back to. Music is Victory Over Time. And it just kind of like sums up their whole thing. Mm. That the collection of music and experience is given time to flourish and to develop and to grow and to bloom and to fail. That ultimately you end up victorious. And so they are conveying this idea of liberation to express the idea that, like, yeah, the world sucks, but you can have a good time too. And you should fight for whatever rights that you need. You should fight for the oppressed.
The whole idea, that statement, music is victory over time, I think you can read it a couple of ways. My first take on it was maybe these physical vessels that we are all traveling around in may not last forever, but the music and art that we create will. In a million years, will there still be Beethoven and the Beatles? I don't know. But it made me think of the other way to consider music as victory over time, and that is, it can be a victory over time in this moment that we're in right now. Hmm. It doesn't have to be time 1,000 years from now, or 100 years, or 50, or 20 years from now. It is victory, as you so beautifully put, over all of the other ills of the world that we have to deal with day in and day out. This music is a way of not only persevering, but sort of succeeding in life, in the moment. And also the name of the song itself, I think, speaks to a lot of this, and that's World People.
World People, I mean, that's the whole idea, right? Is that there's no such thing as race, but there is. There's no such thing as borders, but there are. And ultimately, we are all the same people. And the only way that we survive, the only way that we are victorious, is if we collaborate together. And this is what this song is all about.
We're all in this together, and as you say, collaborate together, I always think, and create together.
Ultimately, all that matters is now.
Yeah, I agree completely. I love that. We should go out on that and on this song from Sun Watchers, World People, from Music is Victory Over Time. Thanks so much, Lars. It is always a journey with
Thanks,
you.
Robin. I appreciate it.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Rosetta Stone, an expert in language learning for 30 years. Right now, NPR listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership to 25 different languages for 50% off. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as Black experiences, you'll hear. It means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.